Turn with me, if you would, to John's Gospel, chapter 4. I think we've talked somewhat about a lot of this, but I think we need to go over it some more, or at least again, this morning. And would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this time, and Lord, we just thank you for you. Father, you say where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you're in our midst. So, Lord, we welcome you. And we ask that you would just touch our lives and our hearts. You would inspire us, that all confusion would flee, and fear. And Lord, that be replaced with your glory, with your faith and understanding, with your abilities. Lord, we receive it, and we thank you for that. Now, Lord, I ask that you would teach us your word. Lord, I ask that the light would just come on like in our brain, Lord, that, wow, is that what that's saying? Lord, is that what I need to do? Thank you for giving us understanding and direction this morning. Father, we know that we can trust you. Help us to know that deep down in our heart and in our spirits as well, Lord. That we will not only know and think it, but Lord, we will stand upon it and confess it and proclaim it in our lives now. And we thank you for all of that. Lord, speak through me today. Holy Spirit, have your way. Teach us the word of God. Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 4, and I want to start with verse 21. This is where Jesus is talking to the woman here, the Samaritan woman at the well. And there are some real truths in here that I think we need to understand them so that we can be blessed. So Jesus said to this woman, he says, "Woman, believe me. The hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." You know, a lot of people think that they can only worship God in church, and we do our hymns, and that's our worship, and then we go about our business. But worship's in everything that we do, and it can be wherever we're at. The worship isn't just singing, but it's also doing. It's also in believing. Even when it's hard, we can say, "God, I believe you, and I worship you because your word says." And then verse 22, he says, "But you worship what you do not know." We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, and the salvation is of us now. But you know, folks, a lot of people don't know anything about worship. They don't know what the purpose of worship is. And I think we need to really understand that, how important that it really is, and what it does for our lives and in our lives, especially in hard times. You know, you can always praise God and sing hymns when everything's going good, but when things are going bad, that's when we, by faith, in our spirits, when we're broken and hurting, that we can say, "God, I love you. I praise you. Father, I trust you. Even in this, I trust you. You are my God, and I will serve you and love you." kind of like Job, say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him and serve him. Verse 23, he said, but the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, last Sunday we did talk about this, but evidently I missed something, so we're going over it again just a little bit here. The Lord is trying to say this is important. Something we need to know and understand. And not only that, but do. So that he can bless us. You see, worshiping, you know, he said we got to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, both of them. So worshiping in the spirit refers to the inner self, the inner man. It's a heartfelt expression of devotion to God. The problem is a lot of times we can go through the motions and then there's nothing, there's no emotion, there's no feeling behind it, it's just something we do. It's like praying. Man, can you sense God at times in your prayers, in your quiet time, in your studies, in just reading the Word? Can you sense Him? Can you feel Him? Folks, we've got to realize that when we're in the presence of God and God is ministering to us, you're going to sense something. You're going to feel. God's given us feelings. But there's so many times that I've heard people condemn feelings. And folks, I like feelings. I don't like bad feelings. I like good feelings. But when I'm in the presence of the Lord, I want to feel Him. I want to sense Him. I want to know that I know. And God gives us that. It's in worship. You know, the worship leader, they're doing their best trying to lead us. And a lot of times, and I've seen in a lot of churches, that there's not a hand raised. A lot of people aren't even singing. And it's like, wow, as a song leader, I put all this effort in, and then nothing happens, and then they feel like failures. They feel, I missed it. Must have missed it. God, I'm sorry. And it's not them at all. It's us. Because we're not looking for a feeling. We're not looking for the presence of the Lord. We're not really engrossed in a spiritual relationship by the truth of His Word and entering in. So it's important. It emphasizes also the importance of our attitude and our sincerity. Folks, sometimes we don't have the attitude that we need. God, I want to serve you at any cost. Use me. And then to be so sincere, God, whatever it costs, whatever, instead of picking and choosing, well, I'll do this, but I won't do that. Kind of like the rich young ruler. Remember when he said, well, Lord, what must I do to be saved? He's kept the whole law, and Jesus said, well, there's still one thing you lack. He said, sell all that you got, give it to the poor, and he says, then come serve me. And what did he do? Say, Lord, I can't do that. I can keep the law. I can do good things. I can keep from sinning, but Lord, I can't sacrifice everything for you. I that's asking too much. And so there goes our sincerity. You see, God's pretty smart. He knows what's in our way. You ever notice that? He knows what's holding us back and what's binding us from receiving. So he deals with it. And I'm so thankful that he does that. Personal devotion. When praying and singing and praise, you express your love, your adoration for God. You do it from the depths of your heart. You know, God's so good. And he wants to bless us. We don't deserve anything. Do y'all know that? We really don't. But God still wants to bless us, and he does bless us. Thank God we don't get what we deserve. Yeah, I've talked to so many people, they're so unhappy. Well, I don't like this, and I don't like that, and this is wrong, and that's wrong, and oh, man, I mean, come on, God, you can do better. Do you want me to tell you there is a place that you'll get what you deserve? Don't everybody wants to get what they deserve, right? Well, that's hell. Y'all know that? That's where you get what you deserve. We all deserve hell. And God got in the way and he sent Jesus. And Jesus paid for what we deserved and set us free. Folks, we don't deserve heaven, but it's a gift. God gave it to us. We didn't earn it. We just received it. So every time you complain, think about, do you really want to go to get where you get what you deserve? I mean, really, is that what you want? That's why God hates complaining. And I do it too much sometimes. You know, but getting into our worship and our praise to our Father for all that he's done, we go by what we feel and what we think at times. Or, you know, a lot of times we don't even raise our hands. You know, I've heard people say, well, look at them raising their hands. Don't they know we're in church? And if people really get into the mood of it, I'm not talking about walking pews, you know, on top of pews and swinging from chandeliers. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a heart. And an emotion. Folks, if you go to a concert, do you just sit there and say, well, I hope it gets over soon? Or do you get into it? You see people swaying, you see their hands raised, and it's not even Christian music, it's devil worship for the most part. Bad songs that you know what you get when you quit listening to country music, get your dog back, you get your wife back, get your job back. What do we get when we sing Christian music? We get to worship and praise and to be thankful and to realize that God is such a blessing and he's so real to us. Folks, we got to kind of get into it. Remember, you know, David danced before the Lord. Here they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. And David danced. And that starts in 2 Samuel chapter 6. In verse 14, it says, and David was dancing before the Lord with great enthusiasm. Folks, I'd love enthusiasm. And David was dancing with great enthusiasm. You know, but before this, he didn't. Y'all know they 3 months earlier, they were bringing the ark to the to Jerusalem. And so they made a brand new wagon and took it to where the ark was, loaded it on the wagon, and was taking it to Jerusalem. And the man that was driving the wagon, his oxen stumbled, and he was afraid that the ark was maybe going to slide off onto the ground. So he says that he put his hands on it and held it. And it said that God's anger was kindled against him and God killed him. You know why that happened? Because they did it all wrong. You see, the Ark of the Covenant was not designed. God did not want it to be loaded on a wagon. Sometimes our praise and worship and our serving God is like loaded on a wagon. If you want it, it's there. If you don't, it's okay. Maybe it's on a manure wagon. God designed, it was in Deuteronomy, he set the priests, the Levites, separate, and he says, you shall bear the ark. You don't load me on a wagon and drag me to where you want me. He said, your priests will honor me and they will carry me. Well, David learned that. At first, David was so angry and so hurt because God did such a thing that for 3 months he wouldn't even bring it to Jerusalem. He took it to someone else's house. But God blessed that house so much that the king heard about it and he says, now we need to bring the ark. But I'm sure it doesn't say, but I'm sure David said, well, let's do it right this time. Where's the priest? Let's go get it and let's carry it to Jerusalem. See, a lot of times we don't receive the healing of God, the blessing of God, because we don't do it right. Folks, we can't get sincere sometimes in our heart because we're thinking about other things. Our heart is somewhere else, and we're not enthused at all about God. We go to church a lot of times. A lot of people do this. They'll go to church on Sunday. But it's just, that's what we do. We've always done it, and we do it now out of habit, which is not a bad thing, but it's like, where's the heart? And you wonder why people aren't enthused? Man, I want to tell you, see, we don't realize how special and who really God is. That's what Jesus said to the woman here at the well. He says, you don't even know who you worship. And that's where a lot of us are because we don't have that relationship. Our heart is somewhere else. We've not indulged. We've not sought him out. He's on the wagon. So are a lot of ex-alcoholics. Oh, you were on a wagon, but you fell off. Well, they had the ark on the wagon and afraid it was going to fall off. But do you understand what the Lord, I believe, is trying to say to us? So let's go back to 2 Samuel chapter 6. So David danced with great enthusiasm, and David was wearing a linen ephod, which was not much. So David and all the house of Israel were bringing the ark of the Lord to the city of David with shouts of joy, with the sound of the trumpet. Then as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Micah, Saul's daughter, that is David's wife, looked down from the window above and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she felt contempt for him in her heart. Folks, there's times we feel contempt for people who get inspired, who get into worship and want the Spirit of the Lord in their lives and in their hearts, and the way they talk and the things that they do, people make fun of them. And they don't think they know what they're doing. See, because to really be a good Christian, you know, I have to always act with dignity. And David didn't. Having a small ephod on and jumping around and dancing in front of everybody. And here Michael was upstairs. Why wasn't she down there worshiping? See, there's people that, because they can't enter into worship, they criticize those that do. So she looked down on him and then despised him in her heart. All she could see was fault. How dare he do such a thing? So embarrassing. So undignified. But you know, the Lord loved it. Those that criticize are always those on the outside trying to look in. And we wonder why we're not blessed at times, and they wonder why they're not healed, and they wonder why the word doesn't work. And so they just wonder. A lot of them will wander here and they'll wander there. But see, what we need to do, those of us that aren't dignified, that know how to enter in to the praise of the Lord with zeal, we don't wander, we stand. God said, the word said. You see, I know who I worship. I know who I believe in. I know, because he's touched my life and he's changed me. I know. It's not talk. It's real. So Saul's daughter, David's wife, looked down and criticized and felt contempt and felt that he was undignified. Verse 20. Now, drop down to verse 20. Then David, it says, returned to bless his household after his worship. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, David's wife, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of his maids, of his servants, as one of the base are critical, or some people who just don't care and don't mind undressing in front of people or being shameful. And she says, and you were shamelessly uncovered. Now look what David said. So David said to Michal, it was before the Lord that I danced, who chose me instead of your father and all his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified than this, and will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor. Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. Folks, if you don't want to join in, don't criticize. The prayer is that you'll enter in. Folks, worship's important. God loves it, but he wants that sincerity, the sincerity of heart. He's not looking for the dignified. Psalms 35:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. But you know, both are essential when we worship. We're going to worship in spirit and in truth. In other words, doesn't it say be doers of the word and not hearers only? As a doer, I'm going to worship. I'm going to magnify the Lord. And I know there's people that aren't maybe happy or like maybe how I preach or what I say. It's okay. Like I told them up at the prison. I said, I'll look like a fool before the Lord. I don't care. Because I'm serving him. And it doesn't matter what I look like. What matters is how the Lord looks. You know, I'm thinking maybe next week I might preach this. You heard this about the first time I've ever mentioned something I might preach. Before I do. And that is, I would like to preach about the Mustang and the mule. Would y'all like to hear something like that? You got the Mustangs in church, but then you got the mules. Neither are bad, but they're different. Y'all realize that all of the disciples that Jesus chose were wild Mustangs. Did y'all know that Jesus would rather tame a wild Mustang than energize a mule? Think about that. But anyway, I'd like to share about that. I don't know for sure if that will happen, but you pray about it. But hopefully you come with an attitude of not worrying about being dignified or... Folks, I'm telling you, bad things happen to everyone, it seems. But let us be a body of Christ that says no more. We know who we worship. And you can call me undignified or whatever you want, but I am going to praise my Lord. For he's worthy. Folks, we got to make some choices in life. We read the word, we say we believe, and then we hope it works. That's kind of how the mules work. Mules don't like change either. Oh boy, shut up. They don't want to hear that. Love you guys, but there's a long ways that God wants to take us. If you want to go, you may at times be very undignified. Very undignified. But you'll be true servants of the Lord. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I ask that you would just touch us in a mighty way that, Lord, that we could see and understand how important it is that we have a true heart for you. Lord, that we learn to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, there are emotions that come with that. We can't just hold it in. It's expressed in how we hold our bodies and we do things. David, there's no way David could have held back. David was a worshiper. He killed a lion and a bear. Because he knew how to worship, to serve you. He had your heart. You even said, Lord, that he was a man of your own heart. Even after he messed up, killed his friend to take his wife. Teach us, Lord, how to worship like this. Teach us, Holy Spirit, how to be inspired of your word. And to know that you're so real. Give us a heart to worship, Father. I thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There will be some prayer up front for you. But I do want to read a blessing over you. I think it... You know, a lot of people don't understand why I do it. But I believe that you can speak blessings into your life and blessings on your families. There's so much negativity in the world. But why don't we learn how to speak blessings and not cursings? Numbers chapter 6, starting in verse 24, it says, "May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you peace and receive your healing. In Jesus' name, amen."